That's where we are. Okay. Go. Yep.
Okay. Emergent Life 556, Asaba Massage. One, considering what is known about primitive people, their healing treatments were part of the magic and spirit of life as expressed in their religion and views of the environment around them. Believing that sick or diseased evildoers obviously are being punished for acting against the gods, that they are possessed by wicked spirits and are struggling against evil forces and magic, or that they are suffering from the actions of malevolent individuals, such afflicted persons were frequently shunned, driven out of the village, or killed. Yet at the same time, in other societies, there is evidence that the surgical procedure of cutting a hole in the skull to relieve pressure or remove evil spirits, parentheses, trepanation, was a common practice. The quality of healing treatment varied considerably between different groups of people and according to supernatural beliefs and practices. And though at times specialists were available to treat specific problems and illnesses, in most cases, since it was believed that diseases were primarily the actions of evil spirits, they were treated by a shaman, witch doctor, sorcerer, diviner, or religious prophet. Page 557 is just a descriptionary. Well, there's no, okay, it's a descriptionary of your Asaba body, your spiritually mindful embodiment. I'm going to skip that.
Well, I have a question. Things like breasts aren't shown here. Is there a reason?
What? Inhaling, exhaling.
What is not there?
Breasts.
Oh.
Oh, breasts. Oh, breasts. I only said breasts. Sorry.
Is that just still on there?
Stop.
I think these are the body terms used in massage. Well, oh, I see what you're saying. First, I thought it was yoga. Yeah, that's right.
Aren't they in the descriptionary?
Yeah, they're in the descriptionary.
I think they are.
I forgot them there. Well,
no.
My bad.
There's a lot of pieces, yeah.
Breasts.
But what would be if it was
eyes
there,
aren't on there
be?
Either.
What would it be?
You can't put everything. You just got to give a basic.
What are they?
And you don't massage eyes normally.
Yeah, okay. You don't.
Breasts are about nurturing.
Yeah.
Well, nurturing.
The breasts must be at the gland side. I'll look it up for you.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Page 558, Emergent Life. 2. From this diagram, you can see that a stiff hand outpictures an inflexibility in giving, receiving, doing.
Okay. Yeah.
Fingers, hand.
Thank you.
A stiff elbow and or shoulder reveals an inflexibility in putting the full power of yourself into giving, receiving, doing. Upper arm, shoulder. Or in bearing your duties, responsibilities, or burdens. Shoulders. A stiff neck shows the rigidity or resistance you have to putting your beliefs, thoughts, visions, aspirations into the body of your life, or portrays your concerns about what the results may be. A stiff knee indicates the rigidity with which you move about in life, your stress concerning change, or your resistance to empowering your desires and inclinations to the level of strong motives and purposes. A stiff hip outpictures your tenseness or inflexibility over living strong, empowering purposes. A stiff ankle concerns the firm, rigid, inflexible way you are putting your understandings into your body and life, your resistance to living your understandings, or your struggle to commit to and live your finest understandings. And a stiff foot or toes portrays the rigidity and inflexibility of particular understandings, even your smallest ones, and your resistance to living as you truly desire. Three. You now have the necessary information to understand how considering your problem, parentheses, such as a pain, cramp, stiffness, tension, rigidity, or other dysfunction, close parentheses, with its place in your body, parentheses, such as shoulders, back, arms, leg, foot, or others, close parentheses, creates an accurate picture of yourself and life. And with this knowledge, you can expand your understandings and realize that relieving the pain or stiffness through massage does nothing to lessen the real problems in your life, such that your physical ailments will obviously continue and result in additional pains, body pains, or stiffness. Therefore, let's consider even more about stiffness in your body. Hey, you guys, is the fan coming through the microphone, or does it sound okay? Okay. Four, being stiff is not seeing the truth of your own beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, and not realizing the fullness of yourself and the possibilities all around you. Sorry, I just lost my place. Sorry, just moved something around you. Being stiff is setting goals and desires and doing little or too much to fulfill them, or creating and expressing life negatively. Being stiff is feeling anxious and frustrated, helpless and depressed or angry, or expecting the worst, and bracing yourself against that. Being stiff is seeking to limit and control individuals and events. Being stiff frequently indicates you're doing many things the hard way. Being stiff is not taking risks. It is avoiding challenges and taking the easy way, which frequently seems to have turned out to be the hard way. Being stiff is not changing. It is waiting for others and events to change. Being stiff is not keeping promises to yourself or others, or setting impossible tasks, standards, or goals. Being stiff is being impatient and expecting things to be perfect, as you believe or decide they should be. Being stiff is expecting too much of yourself or others, or the results from such expectations. Being stiff is complaining about your situation and not really doing anything to correct matters. Being stiff is living life painfully, unsuccessfully, unhappily. Being stiff is fear of the unknown or unfamiliar. Being stiff is self-punishment. Being stiff is denial or resistance to self and others, or to the life you are creating and living. It is denial of or resistance to events and circumstances as they are. It is denial of or resistance to self-imposed restrictions and limitations, or those that seem imposed upon you. Being stiff is being rigid and inflexible, possibly so you won't have to choose or change or be responsible. Being stiff is judging or being judgmental and feeling guilty or regretful before or after the fact. Five. Obviously, since what you do in one area of your life, you do in every area, a stiffness in your body outpictures as the grievous struggles, rigidity, and inflexibility you are living, which must also be relieved or resolved if a massage treatment is to be truly effective and lasting. Consider what advantages you may hope to gain through being and maintaining your inflexibility or stubborn rigidity. If through these examples, or through your own pains and problems and dysfunctions, you are beginning to sense the life self you have created and lived, the question is, if you could have done things differently, what would you have done differently? And now that you understand these things, will you continue living yourself and life as usual? And continue your body pain, stiffness, and dysfunctions as usual? Number six, considering hurts and wounds to be natural and physical, not spiritual, patients with these problems were frequently treated by an injured healer. Wait a minute. Considering hurts and wounds to be natural and physical, not spiritual, patients with these problems were frequently treated by an injured healer using easing or comforting techniques such as rubbing or binding area, binding the area, holding a wound, or applying an herbal compress to stop bleeding, such as a puncture or laceration,
sucking
a puncture or laceration, mimicking animal behavior of licking a cut or wound, using warmth to make a patient comfortable, or cold to deaden pain, and even using tattoos to relieve pain and heal patients. So what is an injured healer?
I have a question mark on that one. We'll discuss it. I think it's an injury healer.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Injury.
Okay. Seven. In either situation, these restorative practitioners were also expected to protect their patients from all sorts of afflictions and misfortunes, such as loss of crops and livestock, natural and unnatural disasters, family infertility and disabilities, and many other tragedies. How many physicians, healers, or therapists today are willing to take on such tasks to protect their patients? Yet Asava massage teachers guiding patients to live the abiding self and life they truly desire and experience the benefits of that life are helping to protect their patients from evil spirits, from loss of possessions, and disasters which affect many individuals, from disappointment and unhappiness, and from the disabilities and afflictions created and imposed through judgments, and the evil spirit of judgments, we might add. Eight. Though you may believe the ancient people had mysterious or secret knowledge or a close connection to the earth and communion with natural matters, which enabled them to live long lives, all evidence shows that their lives were substantially shorter than today's lifespan. And while they had some knowledge about herbs and minerals, their healing and therapy practices and techniques were extremely primitive and were generally ineffective. It seems that, as today, the body frequently repaired itself regardless of the medications and treatments applied, and the techniques used to drive out evil spirits and forces possessing the patient. 9. To many ancient people, disease was a curse imposed upon individuals and or their families and descendants by evil spirits, by God, or by other malevolent individuals. In order to cure disease or sickness, the healers had to divine the sin and disease and had to divine the sin the diseased person had committed or had been afflicted with, and the seriousness of that sin, so the severity of the illness could be understood. This divining the disease is closely related to taking a patient's personal and family medical history today. Does your massage therapist take a complete history? Or do you, as a massage therapist, thoroughly question your clients about their pains and afflictions in life, about their beliefs and desires? If not, why not? So, Roger, in that, I don't suppose you're saying this is trying to get information from the patient. When you talk about this questioning,
does the massage therapist question the patient about their beliefs, pains, afflictions in life? You're talking about a different kind of question? Top of page 561, number 9. One, you're looking to get information from the patient, and the other one, you're asking questions to get them to reflect on it.
Is that what we're talking about?
What's the difference?
The difference is, one is I'm trying to get answers because I have no idea what's going on. The other one is I know what's going on, so I'm trying to get the patient to understand or see how they're doing, how they're particularizing what I know is going
on. Which?
Which is which?
Does it matter?
Which is which?
You say one is such and such, and the other is such and such.
Well, if I'm asking the patient for information because I don't know what's going on, that's that.
Which is that?
I'm not sure how to label it. That's a description in and of itself.
Maybe that's true of both.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. So in this, then, is it suggested that the, is it just...
You want to find out about that patient.
Yeah, just a couple days ago, he was saying that when we're talking with Karen, that we're trying to get information from the patient, and we shouldn't necessarily be doing that or need to do that. Quite sure I...
Well, we always have a big intake form.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have information about that patient.
But then you direct perception, too.
Hmm. Well, the body's going to tell you a whole lot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But then we come to those questions we mentioned before, maybe. Would you like to know more? Or would you like to know how it connects to your life? Or?
Yeah. I can see that's a different kind of questioning. I was just curious. I mean, to belabor the point, I just thought we'd have a quick check.
Okay.
Okay. Number 10. Originally Chinese. Oops, sorry.
I just wanted to touch your shirt.
Microphone. 10. Originally, Chinese physicians, believing their medical knowledge to be secret power, jealously guarded that knowledge and passed it on only to trained and trusted family members or to other specially selected individuals. There were no formal schools for training healers. Yet, in other lands, ancient tablets written 4,500 years ago, which formed a medical textbook, indicate that healing practices were not always spiritual or magical or jealously guarded, and that many shared and expanded treatments were practical and effective. It is for the purpose of sharing a solid knowledge and information that we are offering you this guidance to self-awareness, self-realization, and empowerment through Asava massage teachers. For the greatest effect of massage is its awareful influence on your mind, which does not, of course, diminish in any way the value of massage, but greatly increases and enhances the value of effectiveness of massage. 11. Primitive men, believing that diseases and sickness were caused by evil spirits and supernatural forces which invaded and controlled the patient, may have created the first body massage treatments through their act of kneading or striking or beating a patient's body to drive demonic forces out. Many of the greatest contributors to medical many of the greatest contributions to medical treatments have not been in providing something new, but in destroying and replacing false beliefs and therapies. In relieving body stress and tension through massage, loosening blocked energy, strengthening weak or low energy, or cleansing bad energy, have we really moved very far from the practice of driving evil spirits out of the body or attacking bad forces with good powers? Though the enemy or cause of disease and illness has changed from bad spirits and evil forces to weak or blocked energy, improper attitudes and emotions, or numerous tiny pathogens, the treatments for dealing with these causes, especially in the case of massage therapies and many similar treatments, have remained essentially unchanged in their actions to drive evil spirits out. Such continued witchcraft cannot serve you today. 13. Have illnesses, ailments, or pains taken over your well-spirited body? And do you feel that it couldn't possibly be your fault, simply because your good spirit would never abuse you in this way? Then maybe you are abusing yourself. To ancient people, their belief in good and evil spirits seemed to explain every event and circumstance and relieved them from any fault or responsibility, for everything could be blamed on or understood as the unknown and unknowable vagaries and actions of spirits or gods. And it seemed to empower men as they endowed and empowered their personal benevolent spirits and gods with even greater powers than others had. Okay, sorry. So it did, that's not depower, huh? It seemed to empower men as they endowed and empowered their personal benevolent spirits and gods.
The key word is seemed.
Yeah. I just want to make sure. Okay, got it. In many instances, life and healing became a practice of spiritual one-upmanship. And though these beliefs and actions seem to be the superstitions of the uninformed, maybe we are living by similar false beliefs of good against evil and still playing the same foolish games of life and healing therapies today. Think carefully about this, for your life, happiness, and enriching well-being depend upon your awareness and actions. Let there be no mistake. Massage creates a soothing and beneficial feeling, a mental emotional effect which reduces tension and stress, stimulates your skin, your body's largest organ, increases blood circulation, helps control or lessen some pains, frequently relieves muscle and soft tissue injuries and stiffness, and promotes an overall sense of well-being. However, since these problems are self-created and self-imposed by you, massage is doing very little to treat the real problem, which is the self and life you are living and obviously struggling against. 16. The belief that you live in a world of good and evil events, situations, and forces, or good evil spirits persists even today and completely controls every belief, thought, attitude, emotions, word, and action you live. And you, like early man, to protect yourself from these evils or wrongs of life, and to appease and satisfy gods and good spirits, have created and imposed commandments and prohibitions upon yourself and others for almost every act of life, with sanctions or even banishment of violators from your personal life and world. In this, you, like ancient people, are trying desperately to control your life and environment by gaining the acceptance and favor of a good-spirited self and life or God. And healing has become an active part of these prohibitions and ceremonial acts to banish or overwhelm the illness-causing evil spirits and immoral or wrong actions, and gain them the blessings of good actions for a good-spirited self and life or God. 17. Just as doctors and therapists, plural, tend to wear identifying gowns today, ancient medicine men and witch doctors always dressed for their healing treatments, and in an attempt to drive out the evil spirits possessing his patients, medicine men frequently gave their patients powerful, though gruesome-tasting medicinal potions or tasks to perform, which were intended to make the patient's body an undesirable place for the evil spirit to reside in. That's very interesting.
God, that is so bad. I'm going to get rid of this thing so I don't have to ever drink that again.
Interesting body. Oh, certainly most medications today are sugar-coated or compounded in flavored syrups.
Except in this household.
Just wait. You haven't tasted bitter yet, huh? She could make it really bad.
Yeah, don't push me.
It could get worse.
Yes.
All such ancient actions, certainly most medications today are sugar-coated or compounded in flavored syrups, but have you tasted most natural or herbal medications lately? Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
All such ancient actions and medications, combined with incantations, dancing and screaming, shaking rattles, burning smoke or incense, physical manipulation of the patient's body or other showings of magical powers, had no effect upon the evil spirits.
No, the neighbors were entertained when I did that.
Oh, that's interesting. But such actions certainly impressed the patient, who frequently got better merely because he felt better. But little else was accomplished through such actions or demonstrations, and we've continued most of these actions in our treatments today, in different forms, but with much the same degree of effectiveness. Of course, there are many exceptions to this illustration of ancient healing practices, and many examples of direct pain illness-relieving medications and treatments. But these came later in the development of healthcare, or in the more learned and experienced societies. But underneath it all, as in today's falsely created world of good and evil, very little has changed or can change. 19. While focusing on evil spirits and forces as the cause of disease and sickness, it seldom occurred to ancient people that illnesses could heal without some interventions to drive out the evil forces and cleanse a patient's body from what's it supposed to be here? Cleanse patient's body for benevolent spirits?
From.
Yes.
Oh,
from.
For.
Okay. From or for?
I think it is for.
Yeah, I think it is for.
Okay, now I see.
So it's for
yeah.
In my book.
Yeah.
Okay. So the healer who possessed the power to enliven these spirits and make changes was held in awe and given full credit while the patient was ill. But if the patient was relieved, the recovered patient...
But if the illness was...
Oh, sorry. But if the illness was relieved, the recovered patient frequently gave himself credit for having provided a receptive body for good spirits, who rewarded him with good health or escape from the grip of evil spirits. 20. Of course, when patients died, they were frequently blamed for not providing them and maintaining the proper place for good spirits to reside in. When patients or other malevolent spirits could not be blamed for the death, witch doctors could be punished with death for violating tribal prohibitions, or for not properly sacrificing or performing rituals to gain the favor of good spirits. In his position, as his position required of him. At other times, the medicine man's failures were blamed on the patient's enemies, sending more evil spirits to again curse the barely recovering individual, which then required that the enemy be discovered and stopped. Well, that's interesting. However, before this could be accomplished, the patient frequently died. All illness and unsuccessful cures were blamed on outside, uncontrollable, or uncontrolled forces and dreams, which created an explanation and reason for everything in life. And everything in this view of life seemed reasonable, that man is the victim of evil actions and depends upon good spirits and forces for protection and recovery. 21. In all of this, the medicine man was directing good spirits or forces against evil ones, which meant that he controlled both good and evil spirits. Therefore, he was frequently expected to direct evil forces against tribal enemies in the same way that malevolent individuals sent evil spirits to curse his patients. Through this, you can understand that the medicine man, though normally ineffective, had great power and status in the tribe. Aren't you treating doctors, healers, therapists today with similar misplaced awe and status, and not considering your own actions in creating, curing diseases? Is it creating and curing diseases? Illnesses and afflictions in your own body and life?
Yes.
Have you listened closely and carefully to your own words about good and bad matters, or to your doctor's, healer's, or therapist's words about the pains and problems in your body, and the effectiveness of their cures and treatments? The medicine man had as much effect upon distant enemies as he did upon evil demons in a patient's body and life. But his actions certainly affected those who watched him and believed. They believed in and trusted the medicine man's good spirits and feared the power of his evil spirit forces. Oh, the medicine man was not evil. They feared the powers he seemed to possess. They were deceived by their own perceptions, but these self-deceptions gave them an increased sense of strength and courage, which appeared to protect and heal true believers. It seems that believing and understanding were the true healers, and fear and doubt were the causes of diseases and illnesses. 22. As an example of an ancient healer, consider the story of Achina. Being very successful at controlling fiendish demons, she enjoyed great power and prestige in the Oneida tribe, but in answering her greater calling as a seer and a prophet, she also chose to visit other villages and other tribes. She felt that her power and purpose in life was too great to be limited to a few people. She was determined to carry the good sacredness from one village to another and from one tribe to another, and she often spoke of the great spirits at the village longhouses. When called to help someone, she first entered into the greatness to discover the patient's weaknesses and the spirit forces at work, so she could properly see into the future and foretell events and prescribe something to hold back or block the evil spirits and create a cure. Today, we call it preventative medicine. But greater than that, Achina could see the problems and difficulties which were arising in their lives, not just those appearing upon their bodies, and she spoke of those things. 24. Achina's prophecies also created problems, for if the difficulties came true, that proved that cures and spirit shield had not worked properly. And if the events did not occur, no one ever knew whether she was right or wrong in the first place. So there was a great risk and many difficulties in attempting to help people in these ways. But feeling it was important that they foresee, acknowledge, understand, and prevent or overcome problems in their lives, she was willing to risk these difficulties in her own life, simply because she had the strength and ability and dedication to help the sick of mind and heart and body. And when people questioned Achina's prophecies, she responded, "If I and the spirits can do the great things you've heard about, which have helped so many people, would you spit upon all that I've said about your future?" 26. She had a very logical and rational way of expressing herself to those who earnestly listened, but to those who turned deaf ears to her words and her spirit voices, she threatened them or imposed tasks and obligations upon them, or at other times she even cursed and deviled them for their unholy beliefs and attitudes. 27. It was not that she was black-hearted or uncaring, it was just that she saw her fear, their fears, and knew what they needed most, and her actions were designed to break through the destructive spirits who were causing problems and illnesses. By being stronger than their spirits, she hoped the sufferers would accept and follow her advice. Sometimes they did, sometimes they did not, but it was important for Achina to present herself and her guiding spirits so each individual might see and understand her advice, draw strength from that, put new awarenesses into their own lives, change their ways, heal their ills and bad beliefs, and accomplish something worthwhile. 28. After consulting her own spirits and the spirits of those she was healing, Achina frequently gave her patients a special charge. It was something they had to do or create or establish or pay back or offer unto another. And out of that, then, she declared they would be healed or they would overcome the approaching illness or misfortune. 29. Most individuals, fearing her great spirits and doing exactly as she divined for them, found new guidance and direction, solved problems, and changed their lives, and proclaimed Achina to be a great prophet and healer, which she was. but she also realized that in giving them something to do in a different way, when relating to someone of the family or village, or when working or hunting with another, they did much the same as they'd always done, but they did it in an exceptional way, with new attitudes and feelings. They followed and answered to greater spirits. 30. Achina wasn't guiding them to a new life, and she wasn't just predicting a problem or illness and then overcoming that. She was creating a greater, more spirited individual. And though they may not have understood fully what she was doing, they soon discovered that by following her instructions and charges to the fullest, they felt better about their lives and what they were doing. 31.
Can we ask?
Yep.
More spirited individual? Say another word for this.
Enlightened.
Okay.
31. Her patients often declared loudly that at the evening campfire or quietly to each other, that wasn't so bad. I feel pretty good. Look at my body. And if I do some more of that, then I won't get sick. And that'll be even better. And I'll have the strength I need. Good spirits are certainly on my side now because I know how to do these things. 32. And so they spoke greatly about their own feelings or even bragged. But of course, they didn't brag about Akina. They boasted about what they'd done and the spirits they had on their side, which made them feel fine and strong and important and able to care for themselves. But that was all right. She was willing to accept their crowing and blustering as long as they did what she asked and stayed well. For out of this, she was creating a whole new individual. And that was important to Akina, for she didn't want to heal the masses or cure their problems. She was willing, and she was directed by Diganawida. Got it. On that name.
Still the same name.
I know. How do you say it again?
Diganawida.
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 Yeah, right, exactly. That's what I was just thinking. To spend her life awakening the sleeping creative spirit or force in each individual, which starts life and creates a new empowerment, a greater life, and a wondrously different individual. It was more than healing that she was looking for and bringing forth from each person. She understood their bodies and lives, which she held in her fingertips. But even greater than that, she also saw and knew the nature, spirit, and essence body of each individual. Akina touched that with her eyes and her mind.
So, could we translate the Ganjanida as her eternal self?
I think that he was the...
He was the guy that brought them all together.
Yeah.
So, no.
He was a guru.
He was?
Like a guru.
Yeah.
And she was one of his disciples.
Ah. He was a living person at that time.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Well,
okay.
No.
Then no.
Okay. 33. Seeing and handling the essence of individuals was the purpose and goal given to her by Diganawida and his spirit disciples. But more than that, she was charged to be aware of and know exactly what she was doing. It was not enough for her to just feel or sense or image these things. She was to put the creative force to work in people's lives and let that spread by awakening them to that and teaching them about the spirit and power within all things, which is also the action and purpose of a Sava massage. Akina was to enliven all individuals to their abiding spirit and nature, show them to their essence body, bring about a conscious awareness and use of their great inner abilities, help them know the meanings and beginnings and understandings of all things, reveal their strengths and beliefs, and show them to the fulfillment and enrichment inside of each one, so they could live wholly and completely in harmony with themselves and all of life, and not rely on spirit healing. There's a punctuation missing at the end of that.
There is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. 35. It was a great responsibility placed upon Akina, which she happily fulfilled, for Daganoida had predicted that everyone would meet someone like Akina in their own life and have the opportunity to accept or reject the great spiritual charge placed upon them, and she was fulfilling that prophecy. Have you met an Akina in your life today? Have you accepted and fulfilled your own charge? Are you awakened to the nature and great abiding spirit within you? Are you consciously enlivening your life, or are you still asleep? Do you know of your life in abiding consciousness? Have you awakened to and touched your own essence and the true nature of all things? Do you feel and understand the abiding harmony within you? While these ancient beliefs in good and evil spirits and forces seem to explain all of the known, observed, and assumed facts of life and disease, these perceived facts or truths only obscured, withheld, and delayed understanding. For even into the 19th century, learned doctors believed that diseases and sickness were caused by bad humors of the body and conditions of the environment. And only later was it seen that diseases were caused by bacteria, and later by even tinier pathogens called viruses. In this, have we really progressed beyond the ancients' belief in demons merely because they are now referred to as bacteria, viruses, and pathogens, and the good spirits are now called modern medicine? The medicine man's rattles, tambourines, drums, and other accoutrements are today's x-rays, CAT scans, MRIs, therapy devices, and other treatment tools. And the medicine man's manipulation of his patient's body is similar to much of our massage therapy today. It seems we are still trying to drive evil, painful demons out of the body. 38. Though we are preventing the spread of bacteria or viruses, or the expansion of body infections and malfunctions, is this really any different than stopping the spread of evil spirits and forces? When hunting men saw animals eat the rotted flesh of dead animals without ill effects. 39. When hunting men saw animals eat the rotted flesh of dead animals without ill effects, in fact, many animals seem to thrive on such food, yet when men ate rotted flesh, he usually became ill. It seemed, they reasoned, that the spirits and forces acting against man did not always affect scavenger birds and animals. People could eat the same flesh when it was fresh, but if rotted, man's evil spirits attached themselves to the flesh.
Attached
themselves to the flesh, and then to those who ate the flesh. Man, it seems, was slowly learning to recognize and avoid certain plant and animal foods and conditions in life as not being good or nourishing, maybe, as he thought, because the food and conditions contain bad spirits or evil forces. But civilized people today do not seem to make direct associations between personal attitudes and actions and the consequences of these feelings and behaviors, probably because all people are not affected in the same way, while bad spirits and evil forces seems to act against everyone equally. Today's patients and physicians are seeking a fundamental common cause, evil spirit, or unwholesome force for each disease and illness, which they mistakenly believe must be common to the ailment, not to the infinite variety of individuals with a single disease. Okay. Unless, of course, there is a common cause in each patient's DNA or pattern of genes, which makes some evil spirits or forces deadly for one person and not for another. 40. People today still have that unpleasant, undesirable foods and conditions indicate the presence of bad energies, while agreeable matters, indicate the presence of nourishing substances and fine energies. The problem is that all unpleasant matters are not bad, and not all pleasing, enjoyable and all pleasing and enjoyable matters cannot be relied upon to be nourishing and satisfying. It seems that the world today is a very different place for each person than it was for ancient people. And no reliable commonality of threat or goodness can be discovered or relied upon. Demons and demons and forces are different for everyone. 41. While some ancient medical concoctions, herbal remedies, and physical treatments were somewhat effective, most were completely worthless. It appears that early medications and treatments were effective more because people believed in them than because they offered an effective cure. In the same way today, many useless therapies appear to be beneficial only because the patient believes in them. This is the placebo effect, or maybe belief is more effective than treatments and medications. For there are many examples of cures and remissions which can only be attributed to the patient's change of beliefs, attitudes, and way of life. The commonality of diseases and healings seem to be the patient's beliefs, either in themselves or the treatments, which are strong enough to support their changing from illness-believing living to believing in and living their enriching well-being as they truly desire. 42. No matter how carefully you look at body ailments, you will never find a commonality of causes or action of evil spirits or bad forces, no uniformity of symptoms or effects of pathogens, no dependably effective treatment for driving out creative causative forces or agents, and certainly no consistency of
recovery.
Can it be that life is completely arbitrary or completely supportive of and a full revelation of each person's self and life? 43. Medical science declares that if bacteria are always found within the body of an afflicted person, and the bacteria always precedes the infection, then it is reasonable to assume that the bacteria causes the sickness. Is this different than the medicine man always discovering evil spirits? Yet many people carry the same bacteria or the evil spirit without being sick. Why? And though many individuals get well following a particular medication or therapy, it does not follow that they recovered because of therapeutic measures applied. For it is just as reasonable to assume they would have been improved without those treatments, as frequently occurs. What could have destroyed the bacteria, evil forces, or bad spirits, or driven them away? 44. If you feel better or get well after a massage, is it at all reasonable to assume that the massage created the change? Think again. For even though modern medical and physical treatments and medications have been shown by scientific tests to be effective, this does not mean that they caused the cure, just as massage frequently does not relieve the pain or trauma. 45. Just as the medicine man used physical activity and baths, the application of hot coals, and drinking in cold streams, and frequently tried to manipulate... Dunking in cold streams, and frequently tried to manipulate or pound evil spirits out of the body. Physical treatments today, aka physiotherapy, use exercise, baths, the application of hot and cold packs, and body massage as treatments and remedies. But are these rubbings, handlings, and treatments really different than the ancient actions to drive evil spirits out of the joints, muscles, and fleshy tissues, where it seemed they most desired to reside in a patient's body? Even the ancient practice of leeching and bloodletting, or getting bad blood and impurities like evil forces out of the body, is still practiced today. Though this treatment is obviously not as common or extreme as it was. 46. What do you suppose would happen today if we followed the old custom of requiring healers to keep their patients healthy, and we pay them only when they succeed in that task, or suffer the penalty if they fail? It was not a matter of driving demons out. It was one of keeping them out. Following this pattern, the focus of the Sava massage is to strengthen patients and endow them with the awareful empowerment and freedom to live as they truly desire, without, as we might say, letting evil spirits, bad forces, judgments into their body and life. A Sava massage is a new and different approach to medical treatment, yet at the same time, it is a return to the old practice of keeping patients mindfully embodied, self, mind, body, and life fully empowered, fault-free to serve as they truly desire.
Does anybody want to take over? I'm starting to get pooper here.
Everybody else is rude, but we... Medicine men viewed cuts, wounds, and broken bones differently than internal diseases or illnesses or misfunctions, for physical hurts were quite obvious, and the area and problems needing attention were easily identifiable, while diseases were mysterious, unseen, and generally unknown. It was not until 500 BCE, during the great philosopher-physician era of Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, and Parmenides, that the main focus of most healing treatments turned somewhat from spiritual actions and exorcising demons and evil spirits to dealing directly with the physical body. 48. In ancient yet somewhat enlightened Greece of this period, hospitals or treatment centers were sanatoria, which were stone temples with beautiful courtyards, cooling shade trees, and great fountains, all of which were intended to provide a pleasant, soothing atmosphere in which healing could take place. In other words, the Greeks were beginning to focus upon and respond to patients' mental, emotional, physical life needs and desires instead of only driving sickness and evil spirits out. Or maybe they were creating a desirable internal and external environment for good spirits to happily reside in. In either case, medical treatments were changing to empower patients to deal somewhat with their own problems. During this period, most people wanted their pains and illnesses attended to and relieved directly, and would not accept the philosophizing or sermonizing that their illnesses occurred because of evil causes, ill winds, improper or unbalanced humors, being in disharmony with good spirits and strong life forces, not living a righteous or moral life, or that their internal organs and fluids were too wet or too dry or too hot or too cold. Though in this regard, Aristotle speculated that the brain was actually a radiator for maintaining a proper body temperature and internal environment. He also proposed that the heart heated the blood and added vital spirits, and the lungs cooled the blood, while others taught that the vascular system carried life-giving air and attitudes to every part of the body. While these functions were not exactly correct, these theories helped move the focus of medical care away from demons and outer causes and treatments to directly repairing or relieving individual body malfunctions. Healers were beginning to see a direct relationship between individual lives, their illnesses, and their recovery, or the continuation of their problems and ailments. 50. Disease and healing were beginning to separate from superstition, religion, and spirituality, and move towards individual physical and personal functions and misfunctions. This was also the time of Hippocrates, 460 to 370 BCE, the father of modern medicine, who taught his physicians to ask questions of patients about their sleeping habits and conditions, the directions of prevailing winds at night, their previous illnesses and family medical history,
their job and working situations, their eating habits, and what disease they may have been exposed to. And only then did his physicians fully examine patients, not merely the area of complaint. From this procedure, his physicians were accumulating a rather complete medical and personal history of each patient before proceeding with a treatment. Of course, curative medications and therapies. Okay, I'll get it right. Many physicians, healers, and therapists, ignoring this vital step today, or not knowing what patient information to gather and what it might mean, blindly treat their patients. And if some minor relief or change is observed, they consider their practices effective and well performed. Don't you believe it? 51. Does your massage therapist, or do you as a massage therapist, gather a clear understanding of your patients before proceeding with a massage or other treatment? If not, no matter how much you may know about anatomy and body functions, you are likely to treat the wrong ailment or exacerbate the problem. Even if a muscle is relaxed or a pain is relieved, if only because patients, believing their pains and tension can be eased, are likely to return to life as usual and struggle even harder to control life and situations and gain or possess what they want. And they are likely to continue in these ways until even more severe body pains and illnesses occur and other problems and afflictions take root in their lives. This is not an imaginary example of occurrences. It is the observed path of thinking actions normally taken by individuals seeking relief without changing their own beliefs and way of life.
Okay, I want to try to take approach at this again. I'm sorry, I just didn't understand it. Now we're saying this questioning process is a vital part.
That's what I said. We had told you that we have set up intake forms and everything else.
Correct. And I do remember that. I just was trying to understand why a couple of days ago Roger was so down on asking any questions at all of the patient. I mean, I know there was a point you were trying to get across, but I'd just like to clarify.
I don't know the context in which you were talking about before.
We were talking about asking questions of the patient to get information from them.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But you said to Karen and me, you're trying to get answers from the patient. And that didn't seem like...
But some information you should have already had.
Okay.
From the description area.
Oh, okay. Got it.
You're trying to get that information that you already have, you have nothing to work with. No context in which to put the information to understand it.
Okay. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay. Hippocrates correctly knew and taught that the most successful treatment is to build patient's strength through many means, including diet, hygiene, rest, and lifestyle changes, to create the best condition within which natural healing and restoration can take place. At the time, Hippocrates' techniques, dressing patient history, intervention, and care were in contrast to the then popular school of medicine, which stressed only detailed study of diseases. Hang on a second. Which were presumed to act upon the body independent of the patient, as it is practiced in much of medicine today. Unfortunately, Hippocrates' teachings were not continued and built upon, for though Galen, a physician and writer, circa 160, added greatly to the knowledge about the pulse, brain, spinal cord, and nerves when he demonstrated that arteries carried blood instead of air and attitudes. Many physicians had reasons to continue the practice of drawing off bad blood as a supposed beneficial treatment of illness. And since Galen's authority was virtually undisputed at the time and for hundreds of years, this misunderstanding in medical practice formed a primary treatment until the 16th century, and was continued into the 19th century. It seems that old theories and misunderstandings once accepted by some authority, are very difficult to change, simply because individuals following these false beliefs and treatments have a great deal of self-interest and reputation invested in continuing these practices, those practices. The idea appears to be that if the majority of physicians follow these treatments and believe them to be effective, it cannot be wrong to continue them. The only mistake, it seems, is for a physician to apply an unproven or unaccepted treatment.
What the heck mistake?
It's like, the way it is.
No, I agree. I've been to ground rounds and watch it go on in the most ridiculous ways, but yeah, I see that.
You know, it's just like if all the lemmings are jumping off of the cliff,
then everybody does.
Yeah.
And the one question or outstanding voices oftentimes put down harshly.
Yep. So you have to be strong.
Yep.
And look.
And hold to your convictions.
Yeah. Look, mammograms have been proven to not be safe. And you think they'll let it die? No way.
Well, that's a big revenue generator for hospitals. Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. Very big.
Yeah.
So what do you do instead?
Not worry. what a concept.
Check yourself out if you find a bump.
No, I've never had one. Have you had one? A mammogram?
I think I had one.
You self-exam.
You have to take it as a routine.
You do. Where does that lead?
If you find a bump, then you go get it.
For your insurance company.
Yeah.
Insurance company.
And you do something that's harmful then.
Could be, may not be. 54. Do you see the error in all of this? The general practice of bleeding was of no actual value, but these experienced physicians, seeing and experiencing only what they wanted to believe, like many healers and therapists today, saw benefits where none really existed, and in most instances, the death of patients who did not benefit was blamed on other causes. So the physicians could continue their false belief, just as witch doctors and medicine men have been doing for centuries, and patients suffered because physicians, healers, and therapists would not truly consider the assumed rightness of their beliefs and treatments, which had prevailed even for centuries. But there were physicians who saw healing in a different light, or you might say, by the light of Hippocrates. 55. One notable example was Dr. Wood Baker. He practiced medicine in London at the end of the 1700s. We told you of Dr. Baker before, so we won't repeat his story, except to say that people coming to be healed by ordinary medicine were helped by Dr. Baker in unique and unusual ways. But they felt that was all right because their fears and pains and illnesses were relieved. But his fellow physician condemned him as a charlatan and a hoaxer. They felt he was providing medicines and treatments and advice which offered only temporary relief and which, in the long run, were determined to be detrimental to his patients. Somebody get me some water.
With ice or without?
With, please. They accused him of harming his patients and undermining the medical profession through corruptive practices, and they brought him up on charges before a board of governing physicians. 56. And finally, Dr. Baker declared, if that isn't enough of an insult, you make them pay for all of your treatments as if they were a wondrous privilege and a blessing conferred upon them by God. 57. Well, no doubt about it, the assembled physicians were outraged at Dr. Baker's words, as well they might be. And they would not listen any further, for they, not he, were to determine what was right in medicine and the way it was to be performed. And of course, if a patient died, that was the patient's doing or undoing, not theirs. They were administering things correctly. And if Dr. Baker reversed some of life's processes and helped long-suffering patients, it was only because God in his infinite goodness and wisdom, had granted them his grace and a severance from Dr. Baker's wicked healing practices. They declared that God had looked upon his victims favorably for a while, but truly so, they would surely succumb. 58. The Board of Physicians declared that it was only God's benevolence and mercy and forgiveness, in essence, which healed his patients, and it had nothing whatsoever to do with Dr. Baker or his wicked treatments, that they even survived. The board condemned the wild and insane things he was doing. They accused him of dispensing unproven and ineffective potions, following untrue and untried treatments, and improperly speaking to his patients and giving them hope, and falsely telling them to deal with themselves and their lives. The bar determined that his practices were evil. Throughout his trial, Dr. Baker got an even clearer and stronger and happier picture of himself and his treatments. 59. Several years ago, a short manuscript of Dr. Baker's writings came to light, and we'd like to again quote the words he spoke to his patients about their lives and their illnesses. Since the very beginning, every attitude, every thought and word, every action and reaction, every emotion, and every event and relationship you have ever experienced has been carried in consciousness in your soul, and from that you have proclaimed your life, your body, your health, and your well-being for illnesses, disorders, and disabilities. In each lifetime, you, through your everlasting soul's continuing attitude and experiences, establish the pattern of your life and your physical body, and your soul precisely constructs that body through your inner design, also known as genes. Your physical body and well-being are patterned by, and you are a confirmation of, all you have ever thought or believed about yourself and others. Your body and well-being are shaped by your attitudes, emotions, convictions, and everything you have ever done, and they are expressions of all you hope to be. What is your self-image? What do you appear to be? What is the essence of your body and your life today? And as you look at yourself with new understandings and insights, do you regret the past? Are you fearful or disheartened or discontented? Is your self-portrait encouraging? Everything you have today is because you have sincerely chosen that, and it has been lovingly granted to you by God. And everything you do not have is only because you have not chosen that. Are you happy with your choices and your self-image? Do you like what you see, or would you immediately like to change things? You probably have a tendency to say, "This is not the way I want to be. I'm not worthy enough. Forgive me, dear Lord. I'm sorry. Make me well. Make me better. I want more, for I don't like what I see and know about myself. Change my life, please, Lord. Heal me, for I do not want to continue as I am." Then you come to me, your doctor, and again plead for me to heal you. You want me to ease your pains and comfort you and change your life because you are afraid. Well, if you sincerely want to change, if you want to be different, if you truly desire to be healed and forgiven and live a new life, then you must be careful about your attitudes and the way you say and do things, the way you believe, what you put your faith in, and the way you are. For once things are thought or believed or spoken or done, it is too late to change them, too late to release them or heal them. They are yours forever, and they are forever carried in your soul and in your body. You cannot erase them, undo them, or pass them off. You cannot go back and give those old events a new start, and you cannot change the past. Those things are with you forever. God protect and forgiven you. Forgive you. God protects and forgives you.
No, God protect and forgive. I think it's a wish. It's a hope. Because they're for with you. That's it. You're stuck.
But you can, right now, begin creating anew. You can start over and develop different events and consequences, different thoughts, different attitudes and images, and a different picture of yourself, your body, your well-being, and your life with God. You can do things that are much better and finer today and more desirable for yourself and others. You can be more sincere and concerning, more involving and caring this time, and certainly more loving. You can be more complete, understanding, honest, and compassionate with all individuals and things, with your words and actions in every situation, and with your life and well-being today. And you can carry all of that with you into your future. But all too often, you still want to heal the past, to change and alter it. You want to correct or relieve or release the images, the feelings, the actions, and the events and relationships you have previously experienced. You have a tendency to do this in most situations and relationships in every part of your life. You believe you can release the past or be released from the past. You expect me to provide a treatment that heals things and yourself. You want forgiveness, yet you continue creating the same problems in your life, in the body of your life, and then little by little, you expect me to cure them. You say of your errors in inappropriate behaviors, they are minor little things, they are not important, and you hope that by ignoring or changing or healing matters one at a time, everything will be well, you will be forgiven, and all will be better. But your soul carries these old events clearly within itself, exactly as they happened, and they cannot be disposed of or changed or healed. And by constantly being concerned with the past, you continually limit yourself, your well-being, and your life today, and you unalterably repeat the same mistakes or make them worse and carry them into your future. It is time to concern yourself, your life, your body, and your well-being with today's new awarenesses and devotion, goodness, inspiration, faith, and blessings. Leave the past to heal its own wounds and bury its own dead. To heal yourself today, you must leave the past, learn from your present life, and change your attitudes, words, and actions, your judgments and self-images, and your life right now. Give your soul and your body new, greater, more righteously wondrous images and things to carry. Well, that's all we have of Dr. Baker's words to his patients. 60. It is time for energy healers, massage therapists, and other medical practitioners to reconsider their personal beliefs about the effectiveness of their treatments. For the medical profession's Hippocratic Oath states in part, you do solemnly swear that you will be loyal to the profession of medicine, that you will lead your lives and practice your art in uprightness and honor, that whatsoever house or body you shall enter, it shall be for the good of the sick, to the utmost of your power. You are holding yourselves far aloof from wrong, from corruption, from the tempting of others to vice, that you will exercise your art solely for the cure of your patients.
Is that an official one?
That's part of the Hippocratic Oath.
Ah.
That's not the one I took.
No.
That's the one that Hippocrates.
Yeah.
Wrote.
Yeah.
61. The blind continuation of questionable practices by self-deceiving healers merely because the majority of their colleagues believe the treatment to be correct and proved is a gross violation of being for the good of the sick to the utmost of your powers, which requires each physician, healer, and therapist to insightfully question each and every treatment offered. And as the oath continues, holding yourself far aloof from wrong, from corruption, from the tempting of others to vice, that you will exercise your art solely for the cure of your patients, requires, in essence, that all traditional beliefs and treatments be thoroughly reconsidered, not merely inspected by being held up to the light of experiences, simply because, as centuries of false medical beliefs clearly show, as you believe, you experience, which only confirms and strengthens your beliefs. But nothing in this demonstrates that your beliefs are correct, that your treatments are effective, or that your efforts actually cured or even helped the patient. Do you accede your responsibilities to any assumed authority, not even your own? For your patient alone must be the concern and focus of every treatment, not the continuation of your own beliefs and practices. 62. A Sava massage calls most beliefs about the effectiveness of massage treatments and therapies by themselves into question. Oh, certainly, the systemic, vigorous rubbing, stroking, kneading, or slapping can improve circulation. I just got an image and I just had a chuckle. And relieve muscle stiffness, spasms, and cramps, and frequently has a soothing action on the sensory nerves to lessen anxiety and tension. However, there is no evidence that massage can reduce fat, strengthen muscles, or relieve disease or ailments. These physical massage actions can lessen and relax the tight, cramping grip patients hold on their embodied self and life, which offers temporary relief. But this respite is provided by patients in themselves, not by the massage therapist. However, if this patient empowerment is not fully awakened, so patients can thoroughly change their beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, and behaviors, and create a greater and finer inner atmosphere and outer environment of life, as Hippocrates taught, their old ailments and afflictions or similar difficulties will quickly reoccur. 63. Physical massage is not only about physical matters, for as your body is the oneness of an abiding, mindful, embodied life self, your mindful, abiding self and life are as vital as physical stroking, and any treatment that does not actively and accurately consider and relieve these aspects is not for the good of the sick to the ultimate of your power. You are not holding yourself far aloof from wrong, and you are not exercising your art solely for the cure of your patients. 64. It is time to reconsider whether any physical massage therapy which does not actively massage a patient's abiding spirit and life is appropriate or kind to the patient. Partial treatments deceive both the therapist and the patient. Whether the massage technique is based on general manipulation, on the use of thumbs and fingers or elbows and knees or heated stones to apply pressure to specific areas of the body, or along acupuncture points, or combines both techniques, without considering other abidingly mindful aspects of the patient's body and life, any relief or change will be temporary. Very temporary at best, and does not offer life-changing benefits to the patient as proposed by Hippocrates and Dr. Baker, and as offered by Asava Massage. Are you willing to learn about these life-changing benefits for yourself and for others? If so, then Asava Massage is appropriate for you. But first, let's continue with our very brief history of medicine and massage. The invention of the microscope is credited to a Dutch spectacle maker in about 1590 and to Galileo in 1610. But it was not until the 19th century that physicians looked closely at the body they were blindly treating to see that tissues are aggregations of individual cells, and the tissues vary because of the particular cells of which they are composed. When your body grows, new cells are added to various tissues aggregations, and when it is malfunctioning or diseasing, the cells are disordered or functioning improperly. But since your mind directs and controls and properly nourishes or withholds nourishment from every cell of your body, Only you can properly guide or misdirect your body cells. And though physical massage and manipulation or stirrings of those cells can have a very limited effect upon them, only your mind and awareness control the growth, repair, and appropriate functioning or dysfunction of your body's cells. And though you might consider this cell guidance and direction to be subconscious and beyond or below your awareness, this is simply not so, for you are always aware of the actions in every part of your mindful embodiment. Stop denying your own awareness and the wise leadership you have to offer your individual selves. You are the guiding spirit and force in your body. You alone are the bad or good spirit. You are self-possessed. Mm-hmm. 66. Though the outside world fully supports every aspect of yourself in life, that support is only as you truly desire, or allow, or action. Therefore, external manipulation can have little or no lasting effect upon the functioning of your mindful selves. Only your mind can do that. And do not rush to the conclusion that since all matter can be reduced to energy, there certainly must be a massage therapy or energy treatment which properly stimulates, strengthens, unblocks good energy, or overcomes bad energy, and must be appropriate and effective for you. For energy is energy. There are no good or bad energies, so no good energy can ever affect or overcome bad energy. Besides, doesn't that sound a great deal like good spirits and forces overcoming evil spirits and powers of ancient medicine men? Let's move beyond such limited, archaic views of your body and life and advance to an understanding that your mindful body is composed of mindful energy. In other words, all energy conveys data, and your energy conveys data or information about you. And the energy takes on or becomes the data and emergent properties it conveys, just as your particular cells take on your life tone and offer these properties to the tissues, fluids, and other parts they form. In fact, your cells are the energies and data they convey. 67. Before the mid-1800s, a doctor's treatment was not only likely to be ineffective, it was likely to be more harmful than beneficial. But during the 19th century, physicians announced that the bad spirits and evil forces they had tried for centuries to capture and control were actually tiny bacteria and even smaller viruses. But it now seems that their announcement and the directions taken by medicine were not fully correct, for the spirits and forces seem to be the interactions of data within energy combining to form information and more active energies. And though the tiny circular and rod-shaped bacteria appeared insignificant and harmless enough, actually, as we have come to realize, they can be dangerous and harmful and even deadly. In much the same way, the tiny bits of mindful data or personal information in your individualized mindful embodiment can be constructive or destructive of the self and life you truly desire. And this can only be affected by changing the data, not by manipulating your energy or body cells. 68. Like beliefs, most nearly invisible bacteria are either harmful or directly beneficial to human life, and can generally be known only by their actions. Some bacteria easily grow on flesh and create disease through these actions. In much the same way, most personal data and information forming your beliefs are either benign or beneficial, while much mindful data, if retained and allowed to grow within you, is destructive to the self and life you truly desire. Without bacteria, you could not exist, and without your personal data, information, and beliefs, you also could not exist. It seems that the search for good and evil spirits has not, as previously believed, ended with viruses and bacteria, but has just begun with personal data and information, and it is there that a Sava massage can guide you. 1869, Louis Pasteur, a chemist, not a physician, developed the use of vaccines to treat, strengthen, and guide the internal immune system such that individuals would not be affected by certain infectious diseases. In much the same way, a Sava massage acts upon patients' data system to keep them free of infectious false beliefs so that they can live fully and freely and empower and embody the benevolent spirit of data and beliefs and life they truly desire.
So a question, so just like a massage where you never get touched, so you never get...
You do.
You do, okay. That's awesome.
70. Just as properly vaccinated individuals can live fully empowered in an environment of infectious disease without fear, individuals who are properly vaccinated and strengthened against detrimental infectious data, beliefs, and information, such as good, evil, and the judgments they engender, can live the self and life they truly desire in an infectious world of judgments, all of which are diseased. Instead of only massaging and manipulating your patients and struggling against bad energies, are you willing to empower your patients or be empowered yourself through a Sava massage to fully understand themselves and their lives so they can live as they truly desire? 71. It is frequently declared that without a goal, all progress is without meaning or purpose. But all goals are universally meaningless, for the universe has no purpose and is not evolving or progressing towards a goal. If it were otherwise, you wouldn't have the free will to live as you truly desire, for you would have to surrender your free will to the universe's overriding purposes and goals. No matter how spiritual a universal meaning may seem to be, are you willing to forsake living as you truly desire to being controlled by good spirits, even universal spirits? 72. It is frequently pointed out by massage therapists that when stressed or anxious, your muscles tense and contract in ways that cause pain and fatigue and restrict the flow of blood, movement, and body functions to return matters to normal. The tensed muscles must be located and properly relaxed. Unfortunately, where was I?
Of
72. Unfortunately, it is frequently difficult to discover the particular muscles which are tensed, and why gentle stroking tends to stimulate nerve endings in the area being massaged, which signals your brain to release chemical endorphins, good spirits, to soothe and quiet disturbed or painful nerve cells, bad spirits, these feelings are not truly effective or lasting. The names have changed from bad good spirits to pain endorphins, but the temporary actions and effects remain the same, for when the endorphins stop working, your body will frequently return. Oh, your pain will frequently, your body went away. Your pain will frequently return.
Sometimes.
In other words, instead of ending the pain, such treatments merely block your awareness of the pain. A Sava massage enlivens your awareness of self so you can end the pain by changing your painful way of life. 73. Though you may not believe this, to accept even the finest or best intentioned external pressures or manipulations to adjust yourself or correct your pains, tension, rigidity, and stress, circulation problems, ailments, or diseases, to have your energy adjusted, released, or redirected, to struggle against bad internal actions or forces, to stand against judgments and illnesses, to adjust body postures or seeming malfunctions, or to strengthen or empower your life force, is to surrender your free will to live as you truly desire. Thus, by continuing your present massage therapy, this is the price you are extracting from your clients or paying as a patient. Is your massage treatment worth such a price? 74. Obviously, pain is a learned response, or at least any lessening or increased severity of pain, including tension, stiffness, cramps, and stress, is learned and self-imposed. For example, and we recognize this is merely anecdotal, but it illustrates our discussion as an example. In undergoing medical procedures, many Asian and South American children who constantly endure hardships in life normally endure painful operations and treatments much easier and heal quicker than most Western children. Also, recent tests reveal that animals raised in a pain-free environment were essentially immune to pain. For these examples, it appears that both pain and immunity to pain is learned and varies according to each person. Yet massage and other healing therapies act to adjust your body to an assumed standard of body correctness without really considering the self and life and body you truly desire. For instance, if you want relief from a body pain, which out pictures the painful life self you are living and struggling against, do you really want to change your beliefs and ways to transform your painful self and life? Or do you want to drive the pain away so you can continue living life as usual? Remember, as your pain and severity of pain were learned and lived in your old life, they can be unlearned and relieved through new beliefs and ways. Actually, in your body and life, you are the pain. For without you, your pain does not even exist, and neither does your stress, stiffness, or tension. Water break.
Want to pass it off?
Well, there, who else would read?
I will. Nobody else can read.
Will you?
Yeah, I can read.
So mine is 76. Relieving pain through massage continues the learned self-imposed response that pain is normal and natural, and if not lessened, must be endured. Struggling against pain does not help you unlearn your belief in pain or stress, stiffness, or tension. These are resolved or unlearned only by not living painfully, stressfully, stiffly, or tensely. For pain includes your physical and mental sensing and your reactions to what is being sensed. Therefore, relieving physical pain, stress, stiffness, and tension will not succeed without lessening or relieving your mental emotional response to and memory of a painful situation, which massage alone cannot do. Offering a treatment of out-of-body but not out of mind can never succeed, for matters continued in mind will expand and intensify until your physical pains, stress, stiffness, and tension return and expand, and because too bothersome and intense to bear, and become too bothersome and intense to bear. These discomforting actions in your body are personalized warnings and self-imposed incentives to arouse you to take action about the matters, like the pain you are creating and living unto your body and life today. 77. Changing your beliefs and ways changes your pain. But changing your pain, unlike maintaining your beliefs and ways, changes nothing. For any relief will be temporary, and your pains will quickly return. So pay close attention to every aspect of yourself and life and be more responsive to your own understandings. Standard massage, though soothing, offers very little to help you redirect yourself in life. Stimulating your mindful understandings and empowerment is the focus of Azava massage. Are you willing to awaken and enliven yourself and others through Azava massage? 78. Does your massage therapist, or do you as a massage therapist, probe deeply into the soft tissues of your pain, stress, stiffness, and tensions, or merely the soft tissues of your body? Consider the following vital questions about some important soft tissues in your life. Are you aching to do something? Aching to avoid someone or something? Who or what is distressing you? Is someone or something an ordeal? Are you tormenting yourself about someone or something, or merely worrying and disturbing yourself? Who or what is chafing or harassing you? Who or what is exasperating you? Trying your patience among you, amongst
annoying you.
When long desired goals are attained or fulfilled, it may pain you to realize that your life self does not immediately change. Often, the harder you work to resolve a relationship or problem, the more difficult and painful it becomes. Does it seem that your never-ending pursuit for happiness, love, self-discovery, success, and enlightenment is futile and painful? Do you constantly find yourself being attracted by and drawn into the same or similar painful events or relationships? Do you tend to repeat painful mistakes? Worry continues your distress. It does not overcome painful situations or conditions. Open yourself to new ways. The process of discovering and understanding can frequently be unpleasant and painful. What do you expect to gain by withholding invigorating life and enriching well-being from yourself? Are you taking out your frustrations on yourself? Are you impatient about and dismayed by delays and problems? Who or what is annoying you? 79. The word pain is related to the Greek word pain, meaning penalty, fine, which seems to indicate that despite Hippocrates' teaching, the Greeks considered pain to be a penalty you impose upon yourself in life for actual or imagined transgressions. What are those transgressions in your life? Are you penalizing or punishing yourself through pain? What do you expect to gain from such actions? Assuming your pain is both a warning and an insider, what awareness might this be arousing you to? Stop playing games to maintain appearances that everything is all right in your body and life. Are you on a path you've always known you'd take, but didn't realize it would be so soon or so difficult? Are you having problems renouncing preconceived opinions, living up to your word, taking back previous declarations or accusations? Are you beset with difficulties? What are you anguishing over? To change yourself in life and pain is to act against your normal and highly cherished beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions. Are you willing to forsake your precious beliefs, assumptions, and actions? If not, you cannot live anew without pain. Are you embracing a healthy lifestyle? Have you acknowledged and are living your dreams? What aspects of yourself and life are you concerned about or paining you? Do you truly listen to others, to your own words, to your own body? What is being communicated? Could it be that you are pained by what you believe is being communicated by your own judgments? Are you too sensitive and critical? Practicing principles of well-being will not succeed without enriching wellness thinking. Enriching well-being is lived at all times. It is not something to be discovered and squeezed into. What heartaches and heartbreaks are you suffering with? Even long-forgotten ones. Maybe your old anguish is more active than you believe, and ordeals are continuing. In what ways are you making yourself miserable? Have you been wearing your problems and anguish as a badge of courage until they are now beginning to control and overwhelm you? Stop testing your will and patience. It is all right and appropriate to satisfy, pleasure, and comfort yourself. since life's goodness and benevolence always supports your choice. What does your pain reveal about your choices, about your beliefs and attitudes? 80. If you are not asking these self-issued questions about yourself and life, maybe you don't really want to end your stiff, rigidly painful ways. Are you willing to forsake the controlling aspects of yourself and life to be relieved of your pain? If so, you must pay the price first. First. For you cannot live anew while desperately grasping onto what is old, unserviceable, and painful. Pain in your mindful body begins in your beliefs and judgments. Stop taking pleasure in your pains. Your imagination is working against you instead of for you. Remove yourself from old beliefs and thoughts, attitudes, and ways. You are constantly embodying yourself in life. Is it possible that you are struggling against your own words and actions? Be careful of what you say and do. Are you afraid to live your high ideals through wise, passionate purposes or through the understandings in these insightful questions? Stop dealing with soft tissues while leaving soft issues unattended to. 81. For years, medical science felt they were finally winning the battle against the tiny disease-causing microbes which had ravaged mankind for centuries. As a result, they announced control of many diseases. Yet many of these controlled diseases, such as polio, dengue, and yellow fever, and smallpox, are making a renewed comeback. Tuberculosis has grown resistant to many antibiotics, which were used to keep it under control. Malaria has become increasingly resistant to chloroquine, which was used for decades to control the illness. And new diseases such as AIDS, Ebola, and Marburg have appeared.
How do you spell it?
M-A-R-B-U-R-G.
M-A-R-B-U-G.
Marburg.
Just a virus.
Hemorrhagic fever. Oh, is that one back too? Acute, often fatal form of hemorrhagic fever caused by filovirus, Marburg virus, that normally lives in African monkeys. So it's kind of like the Ebola, kind of like the same thing, but different.
Same but different.
Second verse.
Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, red eyes. Raised rash, chest pain, cough, stomach pain, severe weight loss. Yeah, it sounds pretty.
Gee, it sounds like a real fun one, huh?
Really, yeah. Ain't it out. Well, we fever.
Continue. Okay. Uh-huh. 82. It seems that with mass vaccinations and antibiotics, reinforced by improved sanitation and healthcare, we grew overconfident and complacent about our lives and well-being, but our improved health and living conditions resulted in an increased population, which put a great strain on water sanitation, sewage systems, and food production and storage process. And mass transportation made it possible for diseases to spread rapidly. New strains of influenza, which killed almost 20 million sufferers in 1918 through 1919, arise every year and spread rapidly. 83. Nearly half of each year's premature deaths are attributed to infectious diseases. It seems that as quickly as medical science limits or controls one disease, others arise. Viruses and bacteria resist controlling medications, and old infectious diseases seem to be to reemerge. Does this mean that tiny microbes are winning the battle? Or could it be that regardless of life's improvements, people were still living by the unwholesome, even deadly fruits of good, evil judgments and struggling with the resultant beliefs and illnesses?
Sadness
and illnesses, and pain and suffering. Even premature death, which results from these judgments. 84. The tiny judgmental beliefs you are harboring, which you consider benign or even beneficial, can destroy you in the life you truly desire. Therefore, let's continue our insightful look at your life and see if we can discover how to improve your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and action, and create the self and life you truly desire. For where there is no vision, or where your vision has been obscured, withheld, or destroyed by even tiny judgments, you will certainly pain and perish. Consider these questions about your pain. Does it seem that your life and relationships are too complex? You fail to make the choices that determine the course of your desired self and life? Are you concerned that life does not intend for you to live easily and abundantly? Are you fearful of letting go? Do the same problems seem to occur again and again? When facing problems and difficulties, are you resilient or too firm and fixed? Are your emotions painful? Do you feel that in your present life and relationship you are being crushed, squeezed, or held back? Can you localize your pain, or does it seem to move from one place to another? And in your life, do your pains seem localized, or do they as well move from one person or situation to another, from one event to another, from one activity to another, from one circumstance to another? Do you feel too tender and sensitive for events ahead, for the relationship you are in, for the life you have created or allowed? Does it hurt to bear down and meet your promises and commitments? In what way does your pain arise from your beliefs? Is it painful to be flexible, adaptable? It is all right to set goals, but it is not good to be pained or controlled by them. Keep reaching and achieving. Many of your traditional beliefs, principles, and guidelines are no longer appropriate. 85. Are you beginning to sense the relationship between pain in your life and pain in your body? Between the pain and illness in your mind and beliefs and your embodied pain and illness? You know of finer ways to live. Why don't you live them? Your pain and illness will not change or be relieved through tiresome and critical analysis alone. You must change yourself in life. Rhythmic or reoccurring pains are desperately seeking your conscious attention. Continuously throbbing pains, are you seeking your immediate attention and action? Are you accumulating unwholesome attitudes and pains and dangerous beliefs? Each pain and type of pain indicate the self and life you are living and conflicting with. To relieve your pain, change your beliefs and ways, for your pain and life and illnesses are one. Any weakness or dysfunction in your body reveals an equivalent weakness or dysfunction in your life, and accordingly and wisely. Fibromyalgia in the back refers to painful matters of the past, of the arms, too painful giving and receiving and doing, of the legs, too hurtful desires, motives, intentions, and purposes of the feet, and purposes of the feet, too painful understanding, of the joints, too difficult flexibility. Yet no matter where your hurt, pain, and despair live in your mind, you are not at the mercy of life and existing conditions. For as you follow creative beliefs and understandings and live as you truly desire, everything in your embodied self and life will ease and enhance you. Now, about tension in your body, which indicates the state to which you presume you are being physically and emotionally stressed or strained or pressured, and is and is an accurate measure of your resistance to many actions or situations in your life. Let's consider a few insightful questions about tension. Are you tense and ready to begin something or tense about beginning? How can you tell the difference? Nothing happens by chance, not even your tension. Have you ever been so tense that you temporarily forgot about every principle you ever learned? How did your self-created tension serve you then? Are you repeating this again? By focusing on your tension, haven't you forgotten much of what you've learned? How will that help you resolve your problems? Tension merely puts you in a situation in which you feel out of control. Are you trying to limit or control someone or a situation through your self-imposed tension? Is tension the wall of protection you have built around yourself? Do you also feel abandoned, rejected, and depressed? Is tension related to your limited state of happiness? Is tension the pathway of your life? Do you create an environment within and all around you which truly supports and nourishes the self and life you truly desire? You must change your tense beliefs before tension relief can occur. Is tension the way of your mind? Relax. You do not have to reveal or continue anything you have done. You know the truth of your life, and that's all that matters. Everything within you is as you believe. Are your beliefs too tense or tensing you?
Where was the book I had 2 days ago? Is that it down there?
Yeah.
It should have per census envelope in it.
No, her envelope's back in the bedroom.
Where?
Where I put it.
You moved it?
Continue. 88. Through each belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action, you alone create every aspect of yourself and life. Are you creating, nourishing, and maintaining the body and life you truly desire? Or are you creating tension, pain, and illness? Are you fully aware of your soft tissues and your living creations? Well, you should be, for your body is your finest, most intimate friend through which you constantly and unconditionally support, reveal, and guide yourself. For every part and function of your body outpictures an aspect of yourself and life and enables you to speak clearly to yourself through cautionary words of tenseness and stiffness and cramps, through inspiring words of strength and vitality, through distressing words of grief and stress and tautness, through painful warnings and enduring words of
hardiness
and durability, through effectiveness, and through many other words of inspiration or caution. Inspiration or caution. Okay, so 89.
So it says 471 moves.
Same as everybody's. Could it be that you are living life too tensely or too intensely? Tension speaks in an attempt to control. Are you willing to develop new, healthy mental, physical attitudes and habits? If not, you will constantly strain against people, circumstances, matters, and events in your life, and continuously feel, suffer with, and seek to be relieved of the problems and discomforts you are living into your body and life. Where in all of this is there mindful time for creating the self and life you truly desire? Stop living your rigid and painful beliefs and attitudes and ways, and your inflexible, unyielding, unchangeable judgments into your body. For though it may seem that your physical aches and pains, stiffness, lacks of flexibility, tenseness, and other misfunctions spread from your body to yourself and life, that is not true. for actually you live yourself, your nature, and your uniqueness into your body and every aspect of your life, and then reveal in or struggling with your own creations. Oh, certainly, like most people, you get irritated when a pain persists in your body or becomes more severe. And you even become a pain to those around you because of your irritation. But none of this is a transference of pain to you or to others. Body pains are your own reactions to the judgments you have lived into your body and life. And though your body aches and pains, that is not your body's irritation with you. Nor is it complaining to you or blaming you. That is your body clearly revealing you and empathizing with you. Actually, you are using your body like a hand mirror to look at yourself in life. And unfortunately, to empathize with and justify the beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, which are outpictured in your stress, pain, stiffness, and tension. Does that seem wise? Be nice to your body, for it is your closest, most intimate, and trustworthy companion who will never lie to you, misguide you, or betray you. But you must understand its way of communicating, or we might say your way of communicating to yourself through your body. 89. Obviously, with all of these similar problems in your life, your body and mind will be filled with stress, which reveals the constant pressure or repeated friction and irritants you put upon yourself when acting upon or against your own beliefs and desires, or when events and circumstances seem to be acting against you. Individuals and situations are not stressful. Stress is the way you choose to live. You choose to live, judge, react. Stress does not cause your attitudes, emotions, pains, or ailments. These aspects reveal the judgments you are living, struggling against, and stressing about. Stress is never created. It is lived. Regardless of seeming appearances and what you may think, stress is not an exterior power or energy, an environmental condition, an imbalance or disharmony, or a force acting upon you. But you probably don't believe this, do you? You believe that individuals, events, and circumstances are stressing you, and that belief alone is the stress you are living and imposing upon yourself. Instead of trying to be successful, be of value. The hardest mountain to climb to its peak is climbing out of the deep rut you have created through living one undesirable habit after another. And now you believe that all of this was imposed upon you. A great stress and disappointment is having your life in park. So frequently, your greatest stress is getting your own way or your desires. Any learning process can be quite intense. Are you creating stressful situations and relationships in order to learn? Or to avoid learning and understanding yourself? To teach you a lesson? Are you really trying to invigorate your life, your relationships, your activities and endeavors? Do you generally take your frustration out on others? Are you taking your frustrations out on yourself? Are you disappointed in someone or something? Are you dismayed by or anxious about obstacles of delays? Do you give yourself the freedom to express fully and without restraint? Are you regretting recent words or actions, or your failure to express yourself and your concerns fully and as you truly desire? Do you feel unable to complete the tasks ahead? Do you feel overcommitted? Are you in doubt about, or have you lost confidence in your own abilities and capacities? Are you facing times or situations that challenge your change, or even of joy and success? 90. Are you beginning to understand that stress doesn't happen to you? You stress yourself. You stress yourself?
You stress yourself.
You stress yourself? Stress is the psychological response to what you have judged to be dangerous or fearful or undesirable, which prepares you for fight or flight. Quote, it is a non-specific response to an injury or expectation of injury, and it is a gradually increasing response to what you, over a long period, have judged to be unpleasant. Stress doesn't happen to you. Your judgments are, in some form or another, always returned to you as stress. And though constant activation of your stress response through prolonged judgments is harmful, you probably would not survive very long in your judgment-created world if you could not create this response, which enables you to withstand your self-created physical and mental insults and maintain some degree of balance and understanding and a false self-created life of confusing dualities. Of course, since your judgments trigger this view of the world and your response, you need not continue your judgments or responses or your self-imposed and imprisoning stress. Your judgments limit your emotions to one of defensiveness, which expands and intensifies your judgments of danger, which increases and strengthens your defensiveness and need for judgments and self-protection. Stress and judgments breed on each other. 91. With the increase in glucose and oxygen delivered to the brain when stressed, you frequently experience a sense of euphoria, of sharper cognition, of increased ability to process information, and a dulled sense of pain. But these benefits are short-lived. Becoming addicted to these feelings, though, keeps you constantly trapped in the cycle of judgment, stress, anger, which atrophies tissues, creates fatigue, brings on hypertension, weakens your heart and blood vessels, retards body growth and repair, and diminishes the actions of your immune and lymph systems, which makes you vulnerable to all sorts of pain and illnesses and diseases. Do you now understand how your life and illnesses are linked? Mm-hmm. 92. Like a caged animal, you are captive to and captivated by your constant life of judgment, anger, stress, vulnerability, struggle for safety and protection, judgments, anger, stress. 93. Are you beginning to understand why pains, tension, and stress are lived and cannot be massaged away or pushed out of your body and life? Are you beginning to understand the stresses you are creating? Are you willing to consider a few probing questions about stress? Or will that only stress you further? Are you feeling stressed by the past, by what you did or failed to do, by what you regret or would like to change, by what you should have done or should not have done, by these questions? Are you fearful of your responsibilities? Are you concerned about what might happen? About what you do not want to happen? Do you feel vulnerable to individuals, events, and or circumstances? What health matters are you concerned about? Are you criticizing yourself or others for seeming errors, deficiencies, or failures? Are you afraid you cannot make wise choices or the right choice? What do you feel your physical senses and these soft tissues are revealing? Do you feel you are bound by events or circumstances? Do you feel limited by someone or something? Are you failing to get the rest, nourishment, or exercise you feel is necessary and desirable for a vital and vigorous self and life? Do not be afraid to begin anew. In what ways and by whom do you feel unsupported? If your beliefs and thoughts are filled with fear and anxiety, they are not appropriate for you. Instead of struggling with your fears and anxieties, correct your beliefs and thoughts. Have you been false or untruthful, unfaithful? Keep your mind and actions open to inspiration, not to fears and doubts. Have you dedicated yourself to a cause or purpose which now gives you second thoughts or reasons for concern? Does it seem that life is passing you by, that it's too late to be what you might have been? It's never too late. Are others pushing past you, leaving you behind? Are you seeking to achieve the unattainable or undesirable? In what ways are you concerned about your life today, your future? Those who contend against you, though they are not worthy of such actions, they strengthen you and develop your skills. Your antagonists are your helpers, trainers, and guides. Protect, support, and bless them. Wait, what?
The people who bring up the issues for you.
People that you that antagonize you, that, yeah. They really are helpful. Okay. Your antagonists are your helpers, trainers, and guides. Protect, support, and bless them.
That's hard to do in the moment.
Like Donald Trump. Okay. Are you being blamed or accused? By whom? For what? Never ascribe motives to your opponents which are lesser or greater than your own.
After the fact, you will see it. No.
94. When stressed, are you willing to ask these seemingly stressful and probing questions about yourself and life, and the life of your clients, as Hippocrates taught his students to do? Search within the beliefs, traditions, judgments, and experiences for the images and answers shining brightly and clearly there. 95. Fully understanding the body pains and afflictions, outpicturing yourself in life, require you to reconsider the patterns you are creating and living. Stop deceiving yourself and expecting a soothing massage to relieve the pains and afflictions you are creating, inflicting upon yourself and living unto your body and life. You did not arise this morning the same person who went to bed last night, so why are you continuing the same beliefs and anxieties? Let that new person appear. Concentrate your mind and emotions and actions on your dreams, not on your fears and anxious imaginings. One of the greatest and most self-destructive mistakes you make is continuing your judgments and refusing to yield. Stop letting small, seemingly unimportant matters grow into large misunderstandings and anxious feelings and pains and tensions in your body and life. Enriching well-being is not physical, material, mental, or spiritual. It is all of these. Judge any of these into conflict, and pain and stress will result. It is impossible for you to be disturbed, anxious, discouraged, or depressed and continue very long in physical or mental well-being. Ninety-six. A calm, though busy mind imagines and achieves fulfillment because it sees, knows, lives, experiences the goodness, benevolence, individualness of all things, not separation, judgment, and conflict. You are privileged to constitute yourself in life and desires, so you will become fully aware of their meaning, purpose, and value. But no matter how strong, able, and aware you believe yourself to be, if you continue judging, you will, in facing most situations and circumstances, feel in need of protection or deliverance from the events and experiences which seem beyond your ability to endure or resolve. All of these fears, doubts, and uncertainties will outpicture in your body, which no therapy or treatment can remove or massage away. You must change your beliefs and life. What you express and experience today, tomorrow, and all days following is not as important as the beliefs and attitudes your thoughts are creating and following and embodying into your body and life. Are you too quick to accept black failure or defeat as your lot, or is it a trial or lesson? Are you overburdened by unsupportive beliefs, activities, and relationships? You are either the master of or slave to your own beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, and emotions. Are suppressed anger and anxiety controlling and paining you, limiting and stressing you, making soft tissues hard and harsh? If you are not looking insightfully at yourself and life in these ways, then like primitive people, you want to be relieved of these evil spirits and forces without changing your beliefs and personal creations. Does that really make any sense to you? Are you ignoring the vital soft tissues of your life for a soft tissue treatment?
Issues.
Same thing.
Issues and tissues.
Same thing.
97. Throughout history, healing has been a slow understanding of the causes of cures of disease, but it seems we've done very little to restore enriching well-being. For though people today live much longer under somewhat more pleasant circumstances, individuals are still struggling with the same problem of life. If you are truly happy, do the circumstances of your life really matter? And if the conditions of your life are better and you live longer, but you are not happy, do these better conditions make any difference? For after all, you are still unhappy and not living as you truly desire. Isn't it probable that in this situation, a longer life of unhappiness is itself undesirable? 98. Which seems most important, the days which seems more important, the days in your life or the life in your days? Which seems more important, the days in your life or the life in your days? 99. As a Sovereign Massage teachers will awaken you to the painful aspects of yourself and life, this enlivening process also enables you to understand the stress, tension, stiffness, cramps, diseases and afflictions in your body, and live these undesirable spirits and forces out of yourself and life, should you choose to do so. But whatever you decide, the most important change required is for you to stop believing that the universe and the painful evil spirits you alone created through judgments are acting against you or inside of you. For though you don't believe it now, all things in the universe are good and benevolent and act to fulfill the choices you make and live with every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action. You are truly an extraordinary being.
Oh, good job. Aww. They never even touched them yet.
No, because that's what the practitioner does.
Right.
And that's a whole teaching in itself.
What, to combine the two?
No.
The massage, yeah.
Massage.
Uh-huh.
That's not something we would teach here in
uh-huh. this. But it's still great.
It's still a massage, a mental massage.
That's where we stop.
Good. Break time, huh?
The background. Mm-hmm.
Roger's got to go to
sell is a belief. And if you have somewhere pain, then you first ask a question like this.
Go into your therapy.
And find out what your beliefs are. Mm-hmm. Then you can
change your beliefs.
Yeah, maybe.